dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world. And what an interesting time it is in that war space. At the moment, we are seeing further, well, I think of it as shuffling of the deck chairs on Team Obama's Titanic in the national security personnel arena. And to talk with us about that and what it might mean for our security, I'm delighted to welcome back Christian Whiten. He is a former senior State Department official during the George W. Bush administration, had an opportunity to witness up close and personal, as they say, what the National Security Council does and how important it is that it be an effective organization. He is the author of the forthcoming book, Smart Power: Between Diplomacy and War. He's also a principal at DC International Advisory, and he's always welcome here. Glad to have you with us, Christian.
Frank, great to be here. Thanks.
Well, so what do we make of all this? First of all, maybe a little bit of a retrospective. Tom Donilon is hanging up his spurs. Who was this guy anyway? And what do we make of his legacy as the National Security Advisor to the President of the United States?
Right. Well, Donilon was always, we use this term, a colleague and I, when he was put in that position, a sycophant. I mean, he was not someone with a tremendous amount of gravitas for national security, and he oversaw really a team that just responded to the inbox and had no foreign policy aside from the overarching theme of Obama's presidency, which is, you know, essentially apologizing for America and focusing more on the revolution at home. So you saw Syria, where really it was just open mic night, a lot of statements, a lot of kerfuffle, a lot of flying around to conferences and no real product, and on Libya, where because of earlier incompetence in the way Obama handled Persian Spring and Arab Spring and before that Persian Spring, or the, you know, godsend of the dissent movement in Iran, where we did nothing. In turn, we went to Libya and really had a war with no exit strategy. It was one on the ground because of the activities of other people. But basically, you have things just sort of running themselves in a world without American leadership. That, I'd say, is the context of what brings us to today, where we now have an even more liberal, progressive foreign policy team.
Yeah. Let's visit about that. But I just want to say, I think you're being way too kind in talking about Donilon as having no gravitas. He had no experience, as far as I can tell,
right,
than that of a kind of political hack. But anyway, he's ancient history, though we'll come to perhaps his swan song, the China summit, here momentarily. But before we do, talk a little bit about Susan Rice. You have had, I'm sure, occasion, Christian Whiten, to observe her fairly close at hand over the years. She's not inexperienced in foreign policy. It's just most of her experience is lousy, as best I can tell. Talk to us a little bit about Susan Rice and what brings her to this august position of National Security Advisor to the President up next month.
Right. Well, progressives will tell you, of course, that there's a meridian in time. There's BIA, which is before Obama, and then AO, which is after Obama. And we're not allowed to look at before Obama, but we should. And before Obama, Susan Rice was the Clinton official in charge of Africa. When Sudan offered us bin Laden on a silver plate, and Susan Rice said, no thanks. Fast forward to now, when we're hit.
There was also Rwanda, as I recall. That was not such a pretty picture on her watch in that job. Am I not right?
That's right. Of course, yes, that whole thing happened. And she said that, you know, because of that, she essentially admitted some fault in that and said we should never do nothing in instances like that again. But, you know, these things are easily forgotten in Washington.
Indeed.
The issue, a lot of, I've even seen conservatives out there, or not conservatives, neoconservatives say, well, you know, clearly the administration lied about what happened in Benghazi, but maybe Rice wasn't culpable. That is incorrect. Rice had to have known that she was lying to the American people when she went on all five Sunday shows after the Benghazi attacks. You don't just get talking points. You get a torrent of information function, as you know, Frank, in the executive branch, when something bad happens, you get emails, you get phone calls, you get your own intelligence brief. And if you're going on the Sunday shows, you're not just going to go off of one set of talking points from one agency. You're going to want to know what DIA says. You're within the State Department. Pick up the phone and call the DCM, the surviving chief diplomat in Libya, and ask him what happened. We now know that he said it was a terrorist attack. Go at the UN
that
and talk
night,
to the Libyan ambassador.
Fact. Yeah,
right.
He was telling people
if you're at
before.
The UN, go
well,
talk to the Libyan
well
ambassador
before.
Who could say it's Ansar Sharia.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to say he was telling people, the DCM, the man effectively in charge of our mission in Libya when Chris Stevens was killed, that this was not the video. This was not some mob that just spontaneously went bad. This was a terrorist attack, and he was saying it that night. So I couldn't agree with you more, Christian White, and we're looking at somebody
right.
who serially
right. so,
misled
you know, to
us.
Answer your question, right, and to answer your question, I'd just say that you know, Susan Rice lied, and to put that person in the position of national security advisor, despite that, is really just extending his middle finger to all of his opponents. And really, this continuation, Obama is not pulling Clinton. He's not going to moderate. He's not going to reach across the aisle. He's not going to admit any mistakes.
Yeah. Well, we've seen, in other words, a political hack replaced by a politicized foreign policy apparatchik. And it's not likely to go well, especially given how insufferable a person Susan Rice is. It's just hard to believe that she's going to be able to manage the national security apparatus of the United States very effectively, let alone congealy. Let me ask you about the person who is to replace her at the UN. Again, our guest is Christian Whiten. He is with DC International Advisory. Today, he's also the author of a forthcoming book, Smart Power, Between Diplomacy and War. Speaking of power, what do we make of Samantha Power? Is she all about smart power or what exactly, Christian?
I'd say she would provide a number of case studies of exactly how not to use smart power. She is someone who would involve the United States in a tremendous number of conflicts, and this is, again, why you've seen the neoconservatives endorse her. John McCain, Lindsey Graham coming out yesterday saying she's going to be great for this job. She believes in this thing called the responsibility to protect, which in the rarefied air of UN aficionados is this idea that the United States, well, you know, we can't really use force when it means standing up for our national interests in Iraq, in Afghanistan, against terrorists, places like that. But we have a responsibility to become involved when genocide is taking place. And, you know, obviously Americans hate genocide, but the fact is our military is not the Peace Corps with guns. They're finite resources we have. We need to focus on our national interests. And Samantha Power would have gotten us in a war in Cambodia in 1973, right, when we were still, you know, dealing with the Vietnam and its aftermath and the closing days there. She would have gotten us in a war in Rwanda in the 90s, and she would have gotten us into a war in Sudan at the same time we were fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, if you took her philosophy to its logical endpoint.
And so,
you
Syria
know, they hate
next,
using
perhaps.
Force for other reasons.
Yeah.
Right, right,
well,
right.
Is it really quite shocking? Christian Whiten, that we are looking at someone who basically is of the view that American military powers should only be used where we have no interests?
That's right. I think so. And I think it's someone who, you know, it's really when you put academicians in these very powerful positions, you know, this is sort of what happens. It's the presidency of Woodrow Wilson on steroids. Also, it's important to say that she genuinely is, you know, has some anti-American streaks. I think it's fair to say that. Look at the things she said in the past where it would be really important for the United States to go and apologize for almost everything it's done in the entire post-war era, and that this would somehow be transformational. You know, actually, Obama did that. It didn't work. It didn't solve a single foreign problem. But these people are never going to let facts get in the way of a good academic theory.
I guess that's right. Very quickly, and we've only got about a minute left, Christian Whiten, can you say anything about the rest of the foreign policy team that's been installed since President Obama came to office, rather since he was reelected his second term? John Kerry at State, Chuck Hagel at Defense, and John Brennan at the CIA. Can you generalize sweepingly, perhaps quickly?
Yeah, I think it will really continue to be what Obama said in his first inaugural, this belief that if we say nice things, we unclench our fists and our adversaries will come home and be, you know, play nice doggy, roll over and give us what we want. Hasn't worked with Iraq, hasn't worked with the Taliban. We're going to try it this weekend with China. He's going to meet Obama with the new president, Xi, here in California. And, you know, is he going to raise cyber? Yeah, but you know, yeah, the shirt sleeve summit. We're going to roll up our shirts, and he's going to form some magical relationship, even though this president has no real relationships with allies abroad, even the center-left ones. There's no equivalent of Clinton Blair, no equivalent of Bush Howard.
Just Obama Erdogan, I'm afraid, in Turkey. Well said, as usual, Christian White, and we have to let you go. Thank you. We'll be following closely the antics and implications of this new foreign policy team under President Obama. We'll be talking next with Bill Gertz about that summit, the shirt sleeves, and all the rest of it, and much more right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.